WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the Maryland Crab Cake tour season. On Friday, we're going to be at Gunpowder Lodge, new place, new crab cake. My pal JR's whipping them up over there, as well as owner Danny Santoro, former soccer player. We're looking forward to getting over to Bel Air Road, just between Harford and Baltimore County. And here they got a nice lobster roll over there, too, and maybe a couple oysters before I get all over with, and a little barbecue as well. We'll be at the Gunpowder Lodge. All are brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We'll be giving away some Raven scratch-off tickets on Friday from 2 until 5, and our friends at Goodwill. And at Window Nation. This guy is a supporter and sponsor and friend of the program who was probably pulling his hair out on Sunday night, as well as everybody else who was a Ravens fan, in the aftermath of snatching defeat out of the jaws of victory yet again.
Another three for three digit.
Yeah, you know, this has been a hell of a month. And you talk about leadership, you talk about where Harbaugh is in this point, where Lamar is at this point, and the contract, and you and I have talked money and insurance and all this. At the end of the day, winning football games is how you get paid. And
absolutely,
this has been a unique occurrence for Ravens fans. Jets fans, losing organizations, they're used to all of this, finding creative ways to lose. Boy, Sunday was weird.
It was totally strange. And the penalties, I think to me, that's what jumps off the field the most, is careless, stupid, unnecessary penalties. And they kill you. They kill drives. The end of the game, they killed the win. Lamar gets a first down. You're up by three. You're moving towards keeping the ball and not giving the Giants another hand on it. And they can't line up right. I mean, that is first day training camp stuff. I mean, I just can't imagine the lack of discipline. False starts all over the place. You know, drop passes, overthrows. That happens in every game. I just love idiocy on social media. You know, it's funny because I see it with money. I see it with politics. We both, you know, kind of catch some of that stuff. But you know, one of the things you told me, we had a chat about years ago, was a time when
I don't remember this conversation. So I'm looking.
No,
forward.
You'll remember.
I'm getting popcorn now. What did I say?
You'll remember it when I share it. When the team was, I don't remember exactly at what point, but relatively early on, you were in the locker room, or not the locker room. You were at the Castle or Owings Mills or wherever it was at the time, and you had a meeting with Marvin Lewis about the defense. And you said he took out the playbook and started talking to you and watching film about how the defense does what they do. And you realized that even with all your history and expertise, you really didn't know what was going on until he showed you some stuff. And it's like, these guys, you know, it's over and above film and playbook and plays, you know, the fundamentals of the game. There's the famous, Lombardi, every season when they would come in for first day practice, he would hold up a football and say, "Gentlemen, this is a football. And it's the most important thing we covet during the games." I've seen guys speak that were in the NFL, and they all say the same thing. That football is the most precious item in the world in the game. You got to have it to win. And turnovers at the most inopportune time. But before that, penalties to me is just so fundamental that I got to wonder, you know, what's going on? And this may be a function of preseason. It may be a function of the way they can't practice anymore. I don't know. But, man, you can't line up guys on a third and one so that we can get three and we can put the game away. And then an early snap and then Sunday catastrophe. And all I could hope after that was they let them score fast, which they did. Still had three timeouts, minute 40 to go, could have come down and won the game, and then fumble. So, hey, you know, it's a sad, sad day in the Baltimore Metro. It's a happy day if you are in Philly today.
Well, I mean, you don't win Super Bowls in October. So, like, you know,
they're beating up the Cowboys,
and they're 6-0.
I'm talking about winning football and the baseball team moving on all at the same time in October. It's good to be a Philly fan right now. It's not so good in Baltimore. But back to the quick social media thing, man, people want Harbaugh fired. They want Greg Roman fired. They want Lamar to not ever get a contract here. And you know what? they keep it up, he might just might not. We've talked about Tampa Bay calling his name. And I think they're 3-3 as well with the great forever winning Tom Brady. And then lo and behold, I had to post late Sunday night. I had to post because I saw all these things that the great Patrick Mahomes threw an interception to lose the game at the end, and they should fire him. They should get rid of him immediately because he sucks, because an interception when you're trying to win the game is unacceptable, and Baltimore fans know it. So again, back to my conversation with you, Baltimore fans don't know what they don't know, but you can see that there's clearly something going on in the defensive back and in the, we can't line up and hold our position for 3 seconds. I don't know.
Leonard Raskin is here. I'm wearing the Raskin Global shirt. You can find him at Raskin Global this week. Give him a day before you reach to him. Let him decompress on all of this year. We got the Phillies and the Padres playing later in the week. So a couple things. Getting thrown out by Chad Steele illicitly has opened some Sundays for me, right? So
yes,
I have some other things to fill my time. It's been the weirdest of times watching these games on TV and figuring it all out and not being there, watching these post-game press conferences where I have a question and I'm not allowed to ask it. But I was at the casino up in Perryville, opening the new casino up there. Appreciate John Maroon and the folks up there for having us up. Gary yep. Stein was there. Todd Heap was there every time, and Mark Andrews caught the ball. But I had the unique day of watching the game with Todd Heap and some fans, and it was good and whatever. Game ends. Now I'm in the car and I got 25 minutes to get back in, you know, to Towson. And I listened to the 90 Rod post game show. By the way, I've never done in my life. It's not anything against Kirk, Mark Lopez, 98 Rock, Sarah Fleischer, it's just, I would walk home from games after leaving the locker room and it's begin working. I wasn't in a car. I've never had traffic. I've never been home in Baltimore after a game. Usually I'm staying at the Courtyard in Houston or on, you know, I'm at exit 12 on the turnpike at 7:30 trying to get home. So I never listened to the postgame. It was unbelievable because it was like sort of uncanny to what my experience was at 4 o'clock on a Monday afternoon in 1998, where everybody's just out of the people that call are out of their minds. Like you have to be out of your mind to call, wait on hold, and then tell Keith Mills how you want to fire the offensive coordinator on a day when they had 400 yards of offense. And Keith has to say, poor Keith. I said, man, I used to do
he
that.
Does well.
I used to do purple therapy. But to your point,
purple therapy. I like
purple
that.
Therapy. Like that. Yeah, purple group therapy is what we called it here on Monday mornings for all those years. I don't think about it in those terms now. As a 53-year-old, I think about what are they really doing? What's really happening with Harbaugh, the coordinators, the game plan, their health. The Marcus Peters debacle 2 weeks ago and what that means in the locker room. The fact that Marlon Humphrey is a fake leader. He is the most pretend fake leader I've ever seen in a Ravens unit. Like the fact that they put him out on this podcast and they do all this stuff, the worst guy ever when they lose. And I'm wondering where their leadership is. I mean, Harbaugh would talk leadership council and all that. Lamar better be their leader on offense. It's certainly not Ronnie Stanley at this point. Doesn't feel like it's Mark Andrews. It has to be Lamar on the offense. And Lamar had a leadership issue back when I saw you with Big Truss, right? Mark Ingram was the leader of that offense, right?
Yes.
Shannon Sharp was the leader of this offense years ago, right?
Yes, sure.
Lamar as the leader of the offense, and he has to be being a $50 million quarterback at this point.
Yep.
And then defensively to say, your Calais Campbells, your Marcus Peters, your Marlon Humphreys, Patrick Queen. I don't know where the leadership is, but this is a player issue. They're good enough to win. They're coached well enough to win. And then they have to go out and execute. So trying to shoot John Harbaugh or Greg Roman or Mike McDonald or praise Wink Martindale in the aftermath of this, they have been coached well enough. They're talented enough to have 3 touchdown leads in the fourth quarter. This is a player's issue,
Wink Martindale,
a coach's issue for me.
Boy, the media and the local, they were all about Wink Martindale. And quite frankly, I think his game was horrible until 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter when he got lucky with an interception. I mean, if it hadn't been for a lousy snap and Lamar trying to be a hero to Patrick Ricard, I don't think Wink stopped anything. Like you said, would they have 400 some yards of offense? That's not a great defensive show for the Giants. My goodness. But yeah, the people are crazy, and I'm with you there. I don't know who's leading the team. Obviously Ray Lewis and Ed Reed aren't there anymore. And, at the back end, you got, like you said, Marlon, I don't know if he is or isn't. You have an opinion about that. I'm not
I have a strong opinion about that because I've been around him for 5 years. My opinion on Marlon Humphrey and watching, seeing him interact with me and others in a media environment, seeing him not come to the podium to accept his team MVP award. Like, and now he's Mr. Podcaster, and then they get their ass kicked and he shows up at the podium and makes a fool of himself and Chad Steele. He never should have been sent out there if he was going to behave in that fashion after the game. That I like, take that into the locker room, be a real leader, not a pretend leader, not a leader on the internet, not a leader with your podcast and your little tweets back to Eric DaCosta's wife and how cutesy it is online. It's not cutesy when you get your ass kicked and you have to get on the train 3-3 coming back to Baltimore because you guys didn't get the job done. You know, you want to face the music when you win. Everybody's a hell of a winner. When you lose, I learned so much more about your leadership, your tenacity, your makeup as a human. You know, when things go wrong, this is where leadership matters, because things are going to go wrong. And they've gone wrong for this team right now. 3-3, Cleveland's coming in. Steelers have been good enough to win enough to keep it interesting. The Browns are good enough to come beat you this week. And then they got to go play Tom Brady on 4 days rest next week, which probably isn't – this is a really critical 10 days in their in the lifespan of the 2022 Ravens. Cause if somehow they burp this week against the Browns and have to go on the road the next 2 weeks, I don't know where the end is for John Harbaugh. And I don't know where Bisciotti's thought is on all this, but I do know that when your quarterback who wants $250 million is throwing off his back foot across the field late in the game, like the JV, instead of dirting the ball, that's a decision that's wired into Lamar that he never quits. And that's a beautiful thing, right? But to your point, people investing in the market and getting a little crazy, you've seen that on your end with money.
Absolutely.
This is a critical decision in that moment in the game that defines whether you win or lose. It was a bad look for Lamar Sunday. It really was.
And it has to be in there. You know, like you said, that decision-making, you can't make that decision while you're chasing the football. You can't make that decision chasing a bad snap. That's got to already be in your head that if that happens, this is what I do. I either go fall on the ball or I pick it up, get out of the tackle box and throw that ball away and live to play another
day. He doesn't quit though, dude. That's part of his thing, right?
I get it.
He didn't quit on the play, even though he should have. And I don't know.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. There's a time when you have to know that that's what you have to do in that situation. You just have to say, okay, we're still up. We're going to punt the ball. Was it third down?
It was third down.
And it was third and six after the penalty. And then a bad snap. And you just got to say, okay, we're going to punt it. And I'm going to rely on the other 11 guys on the other side of the ball to not let them get a touchdown. Field goal ties. We go to overtime. So what? Not going to let them get a touchdown. I'm not going to throw the ball away on the 30. And I'm with you. I mean, that's a bad decision, but that's a decision, like, I think that has to be made ahead of time. Look, when we advise people how to invest, we advise people to understand that when the markets are going up and things are going well, I don't ever expect anybody to call me and say thank you. And oddly enough, it never happens. But right now, we're in a place where this year to date, the market's down 25% and people are calling. And I expect that. I understand that. And I'm prepared for that. And I tell them that they're prepared for that. And it's not Hail Mary time. It's time to rebalance the portfolio. We knew this could happen. We prepared for this. And when it happens, it's not a shock. And therefore, we know exactly what steps to take next to recover. And in the long term, we know what's best to do now and then. And that's what I think he missed. He's competing. I get it. But at that moment, competing means throw the ball away. We're up by three. Let the kid punt and let's go to work. We got three timeouts. We got plenty of time. We're going to win this game. And then he did something stupid. So who coaches that? Who makes that decision that he can't do that? Who puts him on film, you know, when they review film and says, this is what you got to do. And the next time he's ready for that, but it's happened a few times.
Well, he's not a quitter on it, and he's a trier. There's no doubt about that. Leonard Raskin's here. He is a Raskin Global. He is, of course, at the front of BaltimorePositive.com. Joins us every week. We talk a little football. Sometimes we talk some markets. Sometimes we even talk some baseball. Did you watch? I mean, the baseball weekend, we can sit here and talk about how good football is, and every play comes down to the end. And, I mean, that Bills-Chiefs game was great. But the baseball has sort of shined a little bit. And I think for all of us, this time of year, seeing these Padres people, Phillies people, even the Indians people getting worked up when they were up 2-1, the fact that this time, maybe next year, maybe the year after that, that the baseball thing can be fun for us again. And I guess if there's nothing else, I don't want to get off of football. That's great. But little part of this time of the year and the leaves changing with baseball. We still play baseball here too. And there's a little part of that where you see this, that you want it as a fan. You want it.
Absolutely. I don't care personally. I hate to say it, but I'm as fair weather baseball fan as there is. I haven't gone in a couple of years, but look, the product the Orioles put on this year on the field was pretty good for the Orioles, and I see getting better. And let's face it, next year or two, like you said, we could be October football baseball. And how great would it be if the Orioles were in the playoffs and won a series when the Ravens were holding leads and winning games. And we could be happy about the whole weekend like Philly is right now. And interesting, if the Yankees go down, then we're looking at no division leaders, right, in the next round. Or were the
100-win teams certainly, and the ones that were iced a little bit over the weekend, you know, taking the weekend off, that the momentum is everything.
Dodgers, Astros, Braves, gone, right?
Yeah, I mean, Astros are in. No, Astros are okay.
No, sorry. So it's Phillies. It's Phillies.
Phillies, Padres, Astros. Right.
Padres, Astros. Yeah, right.
But well, the Astros cheat, so we know that they held.
Come on. Didn't they win in like 100 innings the other night?
These 18-inning games.
18-inning, nothing.
Well, and these poor Mariners fans waited 21 years. By the way, and you really learn with baseball. This is – I'll do a little market update with you, Leonard Raskin.
Sure.
In the modern era, you can go on to your little SeatGeek or your StubHub or your Ticketmaster app, whatever.
Right.
And last week when all the games were going on, so there's series everywhere – and this was the original wild card series. And I'm thinking, all right, you want to go to see the game in Atlanta or do you want to go see the game in Philadelphia? You want to go see the game in San Diego or do you want to go see the game in LA? All these games. And I was looking. Atlanta, $20 to get in for a playoff game.
Oh, my goodness.
Philadelphia, $225 for any of those games with the Braves, right? San Diego, $250 to get in. LA, $75-$80 on the roof, right? Because they've done it so many times, right? So Philly? There's this – Philly was a couple $100. Wild, disparate Seattle, $350 to get in, to get in, right, to the first game of an ALC or a playoff because they didn't play any games at home last week, right, because they won on the road. So they get one game. You get your ticket. You're there. You feel like you got a ticket for game four. Never happened. Game four. My dad always said, I had tickets for games 5 and 6 of the World Series. Didn't happen. You know, back in 1966. Didn't happen. Whereas it's 6 and 7, whatever it was coming back.
I had tickets for game 6 Stanley Cup, Caps Vegas.
Didn't happen. Cash those in. Okay, fair enough. So you know what I'm talking about. Absolutely. But the amount of the market awareness of how much a ticket is. Philadelphia will be nuts this week. San Diego will be nuts because they haven't been in. It'll be $400 or $500 to get in for ALCS games. Fine. But the demand and the supply and the I have to be there, even if you hadn't been to a Mariners game in 20 years, you want to go. They played 18 innings. If you spent $325 and they didn't score a run, nobody scored.
You got a doubleheader. You got a doubleheader. Hey, look, it's a clear indication, just as we talk about money, that the market sets the price of the item and only new and unknowable information changes that price. And like you said, supply and demand. So in San Diego, in LA, in Atlanta, the market sets the price and people don't care as much. And in Seattle, man, the world there, they wanted to see baseball. They've been the 12th man for the Seahawks for a long time. And they were the 12th man when Russell Wilson came home for Denver and they tore him up. But which is kind of weird because I don't know why you don't love on a guy that was so great in your city just because, you know, he left. So what?
But did you anyway, see the Marshawn Lynch, Richard Sherman piece on him?
Yeah.
Did you see it?
No, I did not.
Russell Wilson, after that debacle last week, he got destroyed on the NFL Network by the morning host saying that he's a poser and a bad guy. Like all, you know, he's a superstar. He doesn't even bother to act like an NFL quarterback or like he's in the league. He's more like a movie star. And then Richard Sherman and Marshawn Lynch get together on a podcast and they both lament that they don't have his phone number, that in order to get in touch with him, they have to call his manager.
Oh my goodness.
And you can imagine Marshawn Lynch dropping some N-bombs and whatnot.
Oh my
that's who
goodness.
Marshawn Lynch is.
Right.
Just says, if I can't get in touch with you and I went to war to help you win a championship, I don't know what that says about, you know, like that says.
Wow, I didn't all see you that. Need to, no.
Yeah, yeah,
no,
yeah.
But what
Russell
I did
Wilson
see,
is a diva. So I think
what I saw was the NFL Network with Sherman on the NFL Network talking about running the ball to score the touchdown at the end of the game when they didn't do it. And he was screaming about it. I've played this. I've been there. I've done that. Why don't they run the damn ball? You got to run the ball. The funniest
I saw that
thing
too.
In the world. Right. That was hysterical. And all I could think about, I thought about that when the Ravens were playing on Sunday and they had first and goal from the 4 and threw the ball 3 times. Why do you throw the ball 3 times? I get Mark Andrews, but my goodness, you got Lamar. They were running the ball all over the Giants. They were blowing them off the ball. They were running the ball everywhere. Run the damn ball. But they must have gone to the Pete Carroll school of first and goal.
You're old enough to remember Glenn Dowdy and Shake and Bake. We had Drake and Bake on Sunday, right?
Right, you know, right.
30 yards, didn't even get touched for a touchdown.
Right,
they ran the
ball
well. Leonard Raskin is here. He is Raskin Global. You can find him out. Probably watching a little baseball because he's going to get sucked in here by supply and demand this week. So for markets and for money and where we are right now, is there anything you want to say about the mortgage rate going up? I mean, I've talked
question.
A lot about this. I'm not currently a homeowner. I didn't buy it 2% because we were not of the headspace of wanting to be somewhere 10 years after being somewhere else 20 years. But now, you know, my wife and I even talk about this and saying, how high is this going to get? I mean, I remember my first mortgage was 8.3, 8 3/4 back in 1986, 8 3/4. But we are getting to a weird place. And this, I've known you a long time. I remember back during the plague when you're like, 2.5% money, go get a house. And everybody was jacking their house price up by $100,000. It kind of offset it a little bit. But here we are a year and a half later, inflation, interest rates, 7. 7's a big, big number.
It's a big number. That's right. It's a big number with recency bias. It's not a big number historically. So I would say if you're in the market to buy a house, because it's time for you to buy a house for whatever reason, you've moved, you're ready to relocate, you're ready to settle down, you've been paying rent, and it's time to buy a house, don't let 7% scare you. Find the house, get the best price you can possibly get. Still the same equation as it's ever been. If you're going to buy a house, get the best price you can possibly get for the house. Once you get the best price you can get for the house, get the best mortgage you can get for the house. Remember that most people don't keep a mortgage longer than 3 to 5 years, don't stay in a house longer than 7 years. Although adjustable rate mortgages today are garbage, the rates are almost the same as a 30-year fixed. Get a 30-year fixed loan, lock it in, and know that your payment is set and inflation will help bring the cost of that down over time. And if interest rates come back down, which they may not, but probably they will. And when they come back down to the 4-3 range, whatever, or 5 or 4, you can always refinance it, cut your payment, keep your house, and be very happily ever after. These people that are saying to wait 6 months to buy a house because rates are going to come down, nonsense. They have no clue. They're lying if they say they know. They don't know. Nobody knows. The economy will tell us what's going to happen in the future. So don't wait unless you don't need to buy. But if you're renting right now, know that if there's inflation continuing at the 8.7% rate we're seeing, which is how much Social Security is going up for recipients next year, just know that the mortgage rates are going to keep going up and rent is going to keep going up. So landlords are going to raise rents, and rents are likely to go up faster than interest rates on a house you own and have locked in, because guess what? Once you own it, that payment doesn't change. So if you're ready to buy, buy. Don't let the rates scare you. Just make sure you have enough money to buy the house you're going to buy. If it means you have to buy a little cheaper house, buy a little cheaper house. It's not going to hurt you in the long run. Own the house, pay the interest, move on, live your life. I've also seen, very interestingly, on the same vein, banks and some advisors telling people they wouldn't want their house payment to exceed 30% of their gross income. That is ridiculous. Your house payment, mortgage, principal, interest should not exceed 15% of your income. If it's 30%, the bank's happy to lend you money up to about 33%. The problem with that is you can't do anything but live in the house. At that point, you're not going out to dinner. You're not buying furniture. The mortgage is crowding out life. You don't own insurance. You're not investing because all the money's going to the house. So don't overspend because you feel like you have to have that house right now. If it's too much, it's too much. Okay. There's nothing about keeping up with the Joneses that makes any sense. Find a house you can afford. 15%, push that a little, maybe 18, but no more. That's where you want it to be of your gross income. Calculate your mortgage payment. If it's within that range, don't let the interest rate bother you. Go on about your business, own a house.
Dude, you give this advice for free right here. I love that, man. I let you just roll. Leonard Raskin doing it. He's at Raskin Global. I use him. You can use him as well. You can find him for some good advice and sound football. Well, at least you're not the guy calling poor Keith after the game talking about fire. You don't want Harbaugh fired, right? You don't want Lamar benched. You just want.
I don't know anything.
You just want better.
I want him to play better. Right. I want him to play better. I want the leadership you talked about. I want little things that can be fixed. Fixed. You know, who are you going to bring in? You fire Harbaugh. Who are you going to get? Who are you going to get? You know, you're going to go get Nick Saban? What are you going to do? You're going to get Ryan Day, the Ohio State University, number two in the country on the AP poll, getting ready for Iowa. I mean, what are you going to do? Okay.
You had to get that in, didn't you? You slid that in. I like that you did that.
Who are you going to get? I mean, where are you going?
So hold on a second. You just mentioned Ohio State. We talk about your lad, Matthew, and dog, Rolando. So here's what happened. You don't even know about this on Saturday. Maybe you saw this on social media. Dog Fest was Saturday.
We couldn't make it.
You met Kate Pika. Well, here's the really cool part. I got out there at Dog Fest, and there was so much traffic. I was warned about the traffic, and I'm like, it's a Dog Fest. How many people could be there?
Right.
Everybody, people love dogs and all kinds of dogs, any kind of dog, lots of exotic dogs like your dog. I saw beautiful St. Bernards. I saw Great Danes. I saw Mastiffs. I saw Rottweilers. I saw Chihuahuas. I saw lots and lots of love with a King Charles. Obama had the Portuguese water dog, which also was a dog that I had seen when I lived downtown. I just shouldn't say I'm not a dog guy. I love creatures. Right. I love my cat. I think I'm a cat guy because dogs, I realized you got to take them out to walk. And then I thought of you and I thought you got to train them. You had blood all over your
arms.
Like they don't listen right out of the gate so well.
No, they don't know English. They don't know English.
But how is your dog doing? And I really did think it would have been good for your dog to bring this puppy out to be with all these other dogs, you know?
Schedule just didn't cut it on the weekend to get there. To Dog Fest. But yes, he's doing better every day. He starts training. He starts obedience training this week.
Which means you're getting obedience training. He's not getting anything.
No. He's going to be in obedience school from 9 to 5 on Friday, all by himself with the trainers working. And then we get him at 5 and they tell us what we have to do for the next week till we come back 9 to 5.
Well, you better do what I do to my financial advisor. You better listen to him.
That's exactly right. Because otherwise you get bit and scratched. The good news is the scratches are almost gone and there's a lot less of them every day.
Tell everybody about your dog. What kind of dog do you have?
We have a Great Pyrenees and he is under 4 months. He's about 3.5 months and he's over 40 pounds on his way to 100. So Roland's getting bigger by the minute. You can literally see him. It's like watching
a balloon,
a movie. Right. But it's like watching a movie with a werewolf and they transform and all of a sudden it goes from this man to, oh my God, it's a wolf. So you can see his size increasing, like a balloon by the second.
As a guy who loves my cat and remembers my cat as a kitten, and it comes up right around this time because we adopted her on October 8th. So all the kitten pictures show up when she was a little nugget.
That's right.
You know, you love them, you feed them, you clean their box, and they get bigger. So make sure you're taking lots of pictures of this little fur ball that was 10 pounds when you found it.
He's now
40 pounds.
Now he's 40 and on his way to 100. So
a lap dog, no doubt about it.
He is right now, and the thing is, will he be when he's 100?
I'm going to get a crab cake with you later on in the month. We're going to get out to Pappas. I'm trying to work that date out for you and make that thing happen up there with our good friends. I always appreciate the insights. I appreciate that you didn't make me feel like Keith Mills on a Sunday, that you didn't want to crush the quarterback, bench the coach, fire the coordinators. You didn't want to do any of that.
There you go. Lots of people do, which is why I posted Sunday night on social media that they got to get rid of Mahomes. He threw an interception on the comeback drive. He's got to go.
Andy Reid's
got to go.
Slow and steady wins the race, man. You're just trying to hang in there as a financial advisor and looking after the American dream.
Don't we play 17 games? We could be 14-3.
Right, exactly.
Everybody would have taken that at the beginning of the season if you told them 14-3.
I hope you don't have that kind of optimism in a bull market. It's Leonard Raskin, Raskin Global. We're going to be doing a Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation on Friday. We're going to be at Gunpowder Lodge, lodged conveniently between Kingsville and the Upper Perry Hall in White Marsh, as we'd say, right on Bel Air Road. Be good to spend the day with Danny Santoro, JR, and our friends out there. Brooke Learman's going to be joining us. If you're a Barry Glassman fan for Controller, he joined us on Friday at Fadley's. You'll be hearing that all week long, as did Odette Ramos, as well as Felicia Porter. And we had an unbelievable look at the elections. Tom Cole, who's now with WBAL and Elevate Maryland, unbelievable segment about the backstories of the politics and the votes and these campaigns as we get up on the witching hour of November 8th in the election. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.